Bob. I'm wondering if you have some time free tonight. The thing is, I've got a problem.
I have one thing in common with Maggie Thatcher. History showed her to be a long way short of being St. Francis of Assisi, and so am I. I've never been much good at sowing love to replace hatred, and when it comes to bringing joy to drive away sadness, my record is patchy, to say the least. However, since I walked away from the police service and Chief Constable Robert Morgan Skinner became plain Bob to all and sundry, I have noticed that when my friends have a problem, they may choose to come from me for help and counsel. I've had to deal with a few difficult situations, for my friends tend to be the sort of people who draw problems like tourists draw midges on a damp and wind-free lochside morning. But if there was one I never expected to make such a request, it was my predecessor in the Edinburgh Chief's job, and my principal supporter for much of my career, Sir James Proud. The thousands who served under his command used to call him Proud Jimmy, a silly nickname which I will use only once in this account, to emphasize how inappropriate it was. If anyone ever belied his name, it was Sir James. I have never met a man in a command situation who exuded such humility and who showed less self-importance or pride. The phrase public servant is bandied around at will, but I've never known anyone who grasped its true meaning and put it into practice as well as he did. Jimmy at work was one of those rare people who didn't have problems. He had challenges, and it's a tribute to him, and a reason for his longevity in a job that wore me out in a few years, that he rose to all of them. I've known officers who went into his office to be disciplined and were heard to thank him as they left for the wisdom he had shown them. Latterly, of course, he didn't do too much of that. He delegated it to me. No one who wound up in my carpet ever left feeling better for the experience. That was why, when I took his call that day, as I was ending a meeting in the Balmoral Hotel, my instant reaction was apprehension. A few months before, he had been diagnosed with testicular cancer, but the last medical bulletin he had passed on to me had been positive. His therapy had been effective, and he was officially in remission. His back was my first thought, even though he had just told me he was clear. Jimmy, I murmured.
No, 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 he insisted.
He could always read my mind.
It's not that. That's fine. I meant it when I said I'm in recovery. I saw my oncologist yesterday, and she said I'm in better shape than she is. She's right, too. Poor bugger's a stick-thin midget. I wouldn't be surprised if she's her own patient pretty soon. No, son, this is something else entirely. Something completely out of the blue.
Something that's worrying you, I observed, from your tone of voice.
I confess that it is, son, he sighed. Maybe there's nothing to be done about it. If so, I hope the judge takes pity on me. But if there is anyone that can help, he added, I'm talking to him right now.
Jesus Christ, Jimmy. I had visions of my old boss being caught slipping out of the grocer's with a filched tin of corned beef in his pocket. He had never shown the slightest sign of dementia, but he was in the age bracket when it's most likely to occur. Indeed, the variability of Lady Proud's memory had been worrying Sarah and me of late.
He's involved, in a way, he said. I might need a miracle. This is serious, Bob. The last thing I need at my time of life.
Okay, I told him. We can meet tonight. Do you want to come to me, or me to you?
Neither. I don't want either of us to have to explain everything to our wives. I'll meet you in Yellow Craig's car park, 8 o'clock, if that's all right. I'll be taking Bowser for a walk.
It's all right. But why don't we meet in Gullen Bent's? Why Yellow Craig's?
Because nobody can see it from your house.